Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise for the awesomeness of your name that you mean to unveil in our hearts. You mean to describe realities of your name into the fabric of our being, radiating out of our hearts, manifesting in our lives realities that will transform and transfigure us, O God. Reality so deep and so great, Father, that it will take all eternity to unveil, O God, your names, Father. We thank you. You have chosen us as instruments in which, O God, your name will be revealed. Sons through whom, O God, you mean to describe the wonders of who you are and all that you are. Sons who are called to communicate the glory of the living God. Tabernacles in which, O God, you mean to manifest your presence. Our hearts are meant to be circumcised so that we will walk before you and be blameless before you. And this will be the work of the Almighty God in our lives. You will do with us, O God, what is impossible for us to do. And the key, O God, to our growth, O God, is to receive and realize all that we can from the Almighty God, to see the hand of the Almighty God being unveiled in our lives. So open our hearts, enable us to see, enable us to hear, and most importantly, Father, enable us to receive, Father, that what is planted in our lives today, Father, will grow in our lives and manifest our lives in all eternity, Father. Let it be the word of the living God. Let it be the word described to us in the spirit and life of the Master. Let it be the word released to us in the faith and love of the Master, Father. For he paid a price for each and every one of us. And we pray, O God, that what he paid for, we will unfold, Father, by the Holy Spirit in the merits of the Lamb. So as we continue, Father, today, O God, to meditate on the name El Shaddai, we ask you to bless us, O God, with a new facet of meaning that is personal to each and every one of us. Bless us in your name and enable us to see, receive, and realize the wonders of your name in the lives that we live every day, in the ministries that we will grow in all eternity. Bless us, O God, as sons of the living God, both male and female. Bless us, O God, that we may walk in the faith and love of Jesus to do all that seems to be impossible to us today, Father, knowing, Lord, that you as the Almighty God will establish all that you choose to establish. Nothing will be impossible with you. Nothing will be beyond you, Father. You cannot fail. We can fail, but you cannot fail, Lord. And so, Father, we look to you to save us. We look to you to vindicate us. So save us, O God, by your name, and vindicate us by your power, and manifest us as a blessing. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's very quickly turn to Genesis chapter 17 and look at the things that we talked about before. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 and 2. Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. And we said that this is the basis of grace. God is telling us something very important. If you choose to walk before God, the Almighty God will make you blameless. I will repeat that. If you choose to walk before God, in spite of all of your flaws, in spite of all of the things that you are unable to do, God is declaring to you in his name that he will make you blameless. And that is the basis of salvation. That God will do a work in you that would be impossible for you to do in yourself. And the reason why he will be able to do this is because he is the Almighty God. Nothing is impossible with him. Always remember this. Secondly, he says, in this reality, I will establish my covenant between me and you. And we have already learned that God establishes covenant in the hearts of man, in hearts that he will circumcise by the Holy Spirit. And by this process of circumcision, God will set us free from our fleshly weaknesses. Now, all of us sitting here have got fleshly weaknesses. And they can be crippling at times. And sometimes we sit down there and we are totally helpless. We know that we should be doing certain things and we are not doing them. Always look to God for the answers. The answers cannot be found in yourself. You have to find the answers from God. And persevere with God. Keep your eyes fixed on Him. No matter how many mistakes you make, God will in His power, God will in His love, God will in His faithfulness enable you to break through. Nothing is impossible with God. There are many, many things that are impossible with each and every one of us. But nothing is impossible with God. And in that process of bringing breakthroughs into your life, God will establish a covenant in your heart, a covenant of intimacy. See, knowing God is not just reading it in a book. Knowing God is a reality that has to be manifested through a life lived with Him. Unless you walk with God, unless you walk in the reality that God is with you, unless you triumph in the strength of the Lord, unless you overcome in the strength of the Lord, unless you discover the healing love of God, unless you understand, you experience and realize the saving grace of God, you cannot come to know Him. It is only as God expresses Himself in your life that you come to fall in love with Him. And you can fall in love with God more than you can fall in love with any human being. That's why the Word of God says that you can love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus fulfilled that through the cross. The reason why we have salvation today is because Jesus chose to love the Lord his God through the cross. Obey Him with the very fabric of His being. And He did something by forgiving us. He expressed a faith and a love for us that is an expression of the Almighty God in our lives. So the Almighty God speaks to us through Jesus Christ. He expresses Himself to us through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And it is through the faith and love of Jesus. Now if you look at the cross, you can understand that Jesus expressed a faith and a love for each one of us. It is a perfect faith, it is a perfect love. Sometimes our faith doesn't get us very far. But always remember, there is such a thing as the faith of Jesus. So don't be stuck with just your faith. Look to the faith of Jesus. Look to receiving and realizing Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. Amen. Look to receiving the love of Jesus, because the love of Jesus will change your nature and your character. It will change your thought processes. It will change your behavior. Read the pages of the scripture. See the lives that were changed by Him. Right? Paul the Apostle met Jesus after he had gone up to heaven. And look at the change Jesus made in his life. Paul the Apostle, at the time when Jesus met him, was a murderer. He was a persecutor of the church. And yet God changed his life and made him write 2/3 of the New Testament. That's quite a remarkable work, isn't it? Peter, the guy who betrayed him, he came back and he made him the leader of the church. Why did Jesus do that? I mean, common sense will tell you that this guy will probably let you down again. But Jesus didn't see it that way. He saw it in the reality of the Almighty God. Are you with me? Okay. So the Almighty God is someone who has to come alive to your heart. And He will do it by circumcising your heart. Last week we talked about being a tabernacle, being the dwelling place of the Almighty God. That God is in the, as the Almighty God is in the business of making us a tabernacle for His dwelling. That He wants to dwell in you. And that's how God is going to function through you. By indwelling you. And every function of God is going to be manifested from an indwelling position. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of God. And so God circumcises your heart so that your heart will now be alive to His presence alive in you. And there will now be a functional reality manifested within you. God indwells you, and your heart is able to function by Him at the speed of thought. That's pretty powerful. So you need to understand that this will come forth because God is the Almighty. Now as we stand today, we've got another kind of witness within us, the witness of our fallen man, the witness of our flesh. And the witness of our flesh can drive us to do all kinds of things. Ever noticed what you do when you get angry? Right? And that's the witness rising from your flesh. And sometimes that witness rising from your flesh can also be superimposed by a spirit of darkness that is a spirit of anger. Right? And sometimes you can see yourself saying and doing things that you wonder why you say and do. That witness too exists. But the Lord is saying that in the witness that He brings alive inside of you, He will put to death that witness. And He will enable you to rise above that witness because He is the Almighty God, because nothing will be impossible with Him. So if you are looking for breakthroughs in your life, the breakthrough doesn't lie with you. The breakthrough lies with the Almighty God. If you try your best, all you will find is how well you can fail. You can progress for a little while, but ultimately you will find you get stuck. Because you can be only what you can be. You can't be what you are not. So therefore, we need to receive and realize from the Almighty God that which we will never be able to do in ourselves. That is what the Christian faith is built on. What God does, not what man does. We already know what man does. Haven't you found out yet what you have done or what you can do? Look at your life and you realize that you have not done very nice things in your life. I have not done very nice things in my life too. But the Almighty God has the capacity to change all that. Praise the Lord. So He circumcises our heart, manifests a covenant in our heart, and that covenant enables us to function with Him even as He manifests His presence within us. Now all this is open to us because we have been purchased in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. So you are a creature of destiny. You are not meant to be a curse. You are meant to be a blessing. That everything that is manifested within you is ultimately meant to manifest as a blessing. You are called to be a blessing. Today we are going to find out that the reason why God circumcises our hearts and manifests His presence within us is so that He can bless us by making us His sons. So that He can bless us by making us His sons. Let's turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49 from verse 22. This is a blessing that Jacob prayed over Joseph. Right? Jacob prayed over Joseph. If you look at Joseph's life, you will find that Joseph is someone who came back to his family from the dead. Right? He was virtually dead, or he should have been dead. And when God restored him to his family, it was like him rising from the dead. So in verse 22 it says, Joseph is a fruitful bow or bough. Joseph is a fruitful bough. Now in the Hebrew, that word bough literally means son. So what that should have been translated as is that Joseph is a fruitful son. Joseph is a fruitful son. What does that mean to us? Let's turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. verse 16. Here Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you." Praise the Lord. That you will be fruitful. What does fruitfulness mean? He says that fruitfulness is this, that you can ask the Father for anything in my name and it will be given to you. So a son is a position that God wants you to receive and realize so that you will be a blessing, so that you can ask for anything and it will be given to you. That's quite a blessing, isn't it? That's quite a skill as well. To be able to ask for anything and be able to receive it is an awesome skill. That's why the Bible talks about us one day rising to be able to bless nations. Today, as we look at ourselves, that may not seem to be very real, looking at how we function and how we do things. But because this is a promise unveiled in the Almighty God, as we will read late in a few more minutes, God is saying that the purpose of you being a son is so that you will be fruitful, and you will be fruitful in the name of Jesus. All right? So Joseph is foreshadowing this reality from the Old Testament. Jesus fulfilled this reality and is really the true Joseph, the true Son of God. All right? So in his name, in the sonship of the Son that we are all called to receive and realize, we are called to enter into this position. And the hallmark of being a son unto God is to receive, realize all things. Obviously, all things good. And that is what God wants to invest in you and one and me. The ability to be able to ask for the right thing and to see it come through. To have the faith to see what God has ordained come through. Praise the Lord. And God has undertaken this task in our lives. Obviously, he's got to do a one heck of a job with each one of us, isn't it? To bring us anywhere near this reality. Am I right? That's why he opens this reality to us in the fact that he is the Almighty God. What he is talking about is entirely beyond any one of us. But what he is talking about is going to be testified to as his workmanship in our life. He will achieve this in us. And he will achieve this in us in the name of Jesus. All right? Praise the Lord. So let's go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 49. Joseph is a fruitful son. A fruitful son by a well. I'm transposing the word bow with son. A fruitful son by a well. His branches run over the wall. The archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him, and hated him. But his bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. And we are on the subject of the mighty God of Jacob. So in order to realize this position of sonship, Joseph had to learn how to overcome. He had to learn how to stand strong. Now if you look at your life, you're going through things that are very difficult. Some of us are trying to handle those difficulties in our own strength. And we've been going in circles for many years. And God is asking you to break that circle of death. Break out of it and get into the reality of the life of God. Get into the reality of what the Almighty God can do with you. It's not going to happen overnight. But every time God does something in your life, you will see the reality manifest in your life. He will set you free. He will change your nature. He will change your thinking. He will change your character. He will change your likes. He will change your dislikes too. He will transform your free will. He will bring new desires in your heart. There was a time when I used to desire nothing more than a beer and a cigarette in my hand. And I thought that that was life. Today I despise that life. I despise that thought of having booze in my hand and a cigarette in my hand. I have no desire for it. Yet there was one time when I had the desire for it. It was such a strong desire that I ended up being an alcoholic. But Jesus set me free. God brought change into my life. And the change was manifested in His strength. He changed the desires of my heart. He changed the spirit of my mind. He brought new desires in me. He brought new thoughts in me. He brought a new personality in me. He brought a new lifestyle into me. It took time. But the time was well spent. The time was never left hanging in a vacuum. God changed my life step by step by step by step by step. We are free will creatures. Every change that God makes in our life has to register in our own free will. He cannot magically make us from frogs to princes. That may be nice in the fairy tales, but God's power works as He works with our free will, as He engineers change in our life, as He transforms us. It is as He engineers and transforms us that we come to understand who He is. Right? If He was to act like Santa Claus and just give you one big present, right? Have you seen Santa Claus give presents to kids? See how appreciative they are. Right? Have you ever visited those kids 2 days later? Right? Maybe they are your own kids, right? And you will find that that toy has been dissected, right? And the kid has gone to the next toy. He never even appreciated that toy cost you $200, right? He's just forgotten all about it. That's why God doesn't treat us like Santa Claus, right? That's why God, when He brings change in our lives, He makes sure that that change is registered in our life. It is registered in our heart. And we may not like God doing things that way. But you have to understand that it has to be like that. Because we have a propensity to forget very easily. Right? I've seen guys who have been healed from sicknesses and diseases that they should have been dead of. And then they just walk out on God. They're not interested. They've got their healing. And there were times I've prayed for people and God refused to move. And I used to sit down and say, why don't you move? The guy is in trouble. He's in pain. Can't you see he's suffering? And God doesn't move. And the first time I saw a man getting healed and then walk out on God, I began to realize that's why God doesn't heal everybody. Because some people only come to God for the healing. But God is not interested in the healing. He's interested in the saving. He's interested in the heart being open to Him so that He can bring forth a son. So that He can make that person a blessing, that that person will not continue to be a curse. So that person will rise from the dead and walk in a newness of life and be a blessing to nations. Because that is the potential of each and every one of us in God. That is the potential of each and every one of us in the Almighty God. And so often Christians are not even interested in all that. We are just so happy to attend church. Oh, bless me, Lord. Just give me a new car and give me a new house. Give me a new wife and it's all fine and dandy. Yeah. And God is looking at us and He says, why do you search around like chickens for that worm and think that when you find that worm, you have found something great? Why don't you rise up like eagles and have a new perspective of things? Why don't you think like my sons? Why don't you think with my wisdom and my knowledge and my understanding? Let me teach you and show you. There's an entirely new, different life for you. You are creatures of destiny. Why do you want to die? Why do you choose to die? Why do you choose to just go after the things that will be here? You know it'll be there for 5 years, 10 years, and then it'll disappear. Look at the things you had 20 years ago. Where are they today? 9 out of 10 of those things are gone. You can't go back and pick them back. They're gone. And God is saying, why don't you look for the abiding? And this is the abiding, that you become my sons, that you become a blessing. And it is my purpose to make you strong as you overcome. Many are called, few are chosen. Many are called, all of us here are called. The question is whether we will become the chosen. That's the question God is asking us. And many of us will look at it and say, my goodness, that must be God's choice. No, God is telling you that it is His choice that everyone who is chosen, everyone who is called, be chosen. The sad part is so many who are called will choose not to be chosen. They will choose to satisfy their own fleshly desires, satisfy their little ambitions. You know, today we see a church of 2,000, 5,000, we think it's very big. There are hundreds of millions of people around. And we think a church of 2,000 is big. God's plan is for nations. God's plan is to fill the universe with His creative power, manifested through His own sons. God's purpose is for you to be a morning star, to rise and to be able to stand in such a stature that when you stand in such a stature, it will be entirely the work of God. Praise the Lord. So understand that. What God is telling you is not difficult, because it will be achieved by the Almighty God. All you have to do is to walk before Him and be blameless. Just walk before Him. He will make you blameless. No matter how many times you fail, turn back to God and say, Lord, I have failed for the 9,817th time today. Right? Can you help me pick up the pieces? And God will do it. God will do it. God will do it. Because He cannot deny His name. As long as you turn back to God and proclaim His name, God cannot deny His name. Because His name is by definition an oath. He has to answer you. As long as you call His name. That's why God told Moses in Numbers chapter 6 verse 27, invoke my name on the sons of Israel and I will surely bless them. And I will surely bless them as long as you invoke my name. God never told Moses how to invoke the name of God though, because that was a revelation that would come in the New Testament. Today we invoke the name of God through the name of Jesus. But God says, I will surely bless. But you must understand something. For Joseph to be blessed, he had to be worked into a position where he could be blessed. And to be worked into that position where he could be blessed, Joseph had to strive. But God said that striving was enabled with the strength of the mighty God. The mighty God of Jacob, the mighty God of his father. Are you listening? Okay? And that's the key. Right? That's the key. So he says, by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. I'll read verse 24 again. But his bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. In the reality of the mighty God comes the reality of God being your shepherd. God being the stone of Israel. What does that mean? That every reality in God is rock steady. It doesn't change. The realities of God are rock steady. That's why Jesus said the wise man built his house upon the rock. That rock is the reality of God made manifest to us in Jesus Christ. And every reality of God unveiled to us in Jesus Christ into the tablets of our heart, which was why when God gave those two tablets of the testimony, they were made of stone. Correct? He never says what kind of stone it is, but here he says that God is the stone of Israel. So in those tablets were constructed in the realities of God. And those tablets are now called the tablets of our heart. And the construct of the tablets of our heart is the flesh of the Son, the substance of His fullness. Amen? Praise the Lord. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. By the God of your Father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you, with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessing of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of your Father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors. Up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills, they shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers. Verse 28. The last part of verse 28. And he blessed them. Jacob blessed each one of his sons. He blessed each one according to his own blessing. Interesting words. According to his own blessing. That means the blessing that they realized. Joseph realized the blessings of God. All the other guys did their own thing. God still worked in their life, but that was not the perfect will of God. Joseph was the one son who realized the perfect will of God. Are you listening? And God blesses him with the blessings that the Almighty God brings. So this is what the reality of the Almighty God is. The Almighty God will make you a blessing. And He will make you a blessing by making you His son. And He will bless you with the blessings of the heavens and the depths, deeps. He will bless you. Alright? He will bless you. Alright, let's look at what that means to us in the New Testament. God proclaimed this over Joseph. It was never fulfilled in Joseph's life or in the lives of his sons in the Old Testament. Jesus had to come to make all of these blessings alive. So this is what it means when the Bible says the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Jesus came in Matthew chapter 5 verse 17. He came to fulfill the law and the prophets. He came to make the reality of God's law alive in us in fulfilled terms. He came to make the promises of God, the blessings of God, the prophets, alive to us in fulfilled terms. In His merits, in the merits of the Son. So all that God has for us as the Almighty God, He works into us in the name of Jesus. Can you catch that? He works into us in the name of Jesus. Alright? And so you find that in the Old Testament, Jesus Christ is referred to as the chosen one. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 42, rather, verse 1. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. My elect one, in other versions of the Bible, or if you have a study Bible, you will find that a translation of the elect one is the word chosen. So behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He's talking about Jesus the Messiah. And he calls him the chosen one. Alright? He calls him the chosen one. Okay? He calls him the chosen one. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 12. from verse 17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. So Jesus Christ is referred to as God's servant. He is referred to here as the beloved of the Lord. And he is referred to here as the chosen. Right? And these are positions that God is defining in Christ Jesus that we can receive in the name of Jesus. So sonship is open to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God, and he is the blueprint for each one of us becoming sons of God. Can you understand that? He is the blueprint for each one of us becoming sons of God. So in John chapter 1 verse 16 it reads, For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. That word realized comes out in the New American Standard Translation. That realization is in your heart. So in the fullness of Jesus Christ, there are many things open to you. So the first thing you must understand is that in the name of Jesus, you are sons of God. And in the name of Jesus, you are sons of God called to serve God, to be the chosen of God, and to be the beloved of the Lord. And these are positions given to you in Jesus Christ. And the Almighty God will enable this reality to come forth in each one of us. Let's look at another verse. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now what is faith? Faith is the substance of hope. Now if you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, what does that imply? That the substance will be of him. Are you with me? When the substance is of him, you realize all that is of him. So it says here, therefore, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Because you have faith in Christ Jesus, the substance of Christ will be manifested in you, and you will be enabled to become sons of God. Can you see that? So becoming sons of God is not theology. It has to be manifested as a living reality within us, and it is the work of the Almighty God. Remember the teaching on the circumcised heart? So as God circumcises your heart, right, he is manifesting inside of you a reality that you are sons of God. Now in each one of us sitting here, there is a certain degree of conviction about being sons of God. In some of us it may be very weak, but nonetheless it is there. Alright, so you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's carry on. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So whether you are male or female, you are in spiritual terms considered sons of God. Amen. Under the law, only the males were circumcised. In the fulfillment of the law, all of us who have hearts are circumcised in our hearts, and the circumcision is for both male and female. Why? Because it is no longer a circumcision of the flesh of man, it is a circumcision of the heart of man. Can you catch that? So therefore, both male and female are entitled to every blessing that has been given to us in Christ Jesus. Amen? Nonetheless, in a covenant of marriage, the wife shall submit to her husband. But the husband is commanded to love his wife even as himself. Just as Christ loves the church. Alright? Okay, praise the Lord. So we are chosen in Christ Jesus, and we are chosen in Christ Jesus simply because we receive of Him. Verse 29, and if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Heirs according to promise. So in the line of Abraham, Joseph was blessed and called a fruitful son. In Jesus Christ, we are brought into that position of being fruitful sons. And we are all called to be the chosen of God. It will be according to our response to God's grace. Amen. And you need to understand that even that response is brought forth by the work and ministry of the Almighty God, who works through us by the Holy Spirit, who works through us in the name of Jesus. So as long as you keep your attention that you are living your life before God, God will continue to work the impossible inside of you. He will continue to work the reality that you are sons of God. Are you with me? And always understand, the blessings of God can only be manifested to His sons. I know in a general way God has blessed the whole world. He's given us a creation. He gives us air, water, love and sunshine. But when God talks about His sons, He's talking about far higher, greater things. All right? He's talking about the unveiling of Himself. He's talking about the manifestation of His glory. He's talking about the release of His own life. He's talking about the unveiling of His own character and His nature. He's talking about us being able to function in the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding that comes from Him. He's talking about us being able to do things by God. And you realize that the potentials in each and every one of our lives is literally unlimited. Amen? The way may be narrow, but what opens in this narrow way is infinite. Jesus is the way, and there can be no other way. But what opens in Jesus the way is the heart of God, and the heart of God has got no limit. Amen? So the Almighty God will bring this to pass. Blessings of the heavens, blessings of the deep, right? Blessings of the breasts and blessings of the womb. So your offspring will be blessed, right? The only way you can really bless your children is for you to belong to God. The only way you can bless your children is to invoke the name of God over your children. Every other blessing is transitory. You can put money in the bank, you can give them an excellent education. All those things are only there for us. Most of the things I have studied in university are no longer in the textbooks. They are out of date. So all those distinctions that I got in my academic career are all null and void today. Very sobering thought. Today people are getting out of date in a faster and faster way. Right? So we need to understand something. We need something that is of the abiding. And the abiding comes to us through sonship to God. Praise the Lord. Right? As sons of God, we are also called the beloved. Right? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So that's why in the New Testament, as you read the epistles, you'll find the apostles refer to us as the beloved. We are the beloved because Jesus is the beloved. In Him, we have this position of being the beloved. What does it mean to be beloved? That means we are a focus, each one of us, a focus of God's love. That God's love is meant to be manifested and personified in us. God means for each one of us to be living expressions of His faithful, of His love. So, in Jesus being the beloved, we are each called to receive and realize the love of God. That means God has the intent of manifesting His love in each one of our lives. Are you with me? And in the realization of the love of God, we come to love God in return with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And all this is the work of the Almighty God, the all-sufficient God. He will fulfill this work in us. As long as we choose to continue to walk before Him. Praise the Lord. Okay. Blessings of the heavens. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Praise the Lord. So you and I are potentially blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So the blessings that He gave Joseph are made alive to us in Christ. But that verse tells us that that reality only exists in Christ. Take out Christ and there is no such thing. It doesn't exist for anything that is not in Christ. Are you with me? Why in Christ? Because Christ defines the right spirit. He came to establish the blueprint for man in the right spirit. So in Romans chapter 1 verses 3 and 4 you will find that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead because the spirit in Him was the spirit of holiness. Are you with me? The spirit of holiness. What is holiness? The highest attribute of God. Amen. What does it mean to us? It means that as we are clothed in the spirit of Christ, we will have a desire to be set apart unto God. We will have a desire to be consecrated to God. We will have a desire to be holy unto God. All right? So all of these blessings in the heavenly places are in Christ. Okay? So what God spoke through Jacob into the life of Joseph, in the reality of the Almighty God, God has made it available to us. Right? In Christ Jesus. Amen? So you have a position in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. You may not understand this because you may not be experiencing this in the reality, but it's already there. That when you pray and when you open your heart to the Lord, God opens to you a reality in the heavenly places. It's already there. The moment you were born again, it was open to you. You are open to a reality of God. And that reality of God opens in the mount of the Lord. And that has been opened to you already. That's why you came alive to God. That's why you are here. Okay? And that is the work of God. Amen? It didn't come by theological discourse. It came to you as God manifested revelation knowledge inside of you. And lo and behold, you are open to the heavenlies. Right? The truth that unveils in heavenly places. The truth that unveils in heavenly places to unveil you as princes of the house of God. Remember that? We talked about that last week too. That we are part of a royal household. Amen? The sons of God. Okay. Verse 4. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. What is He saying here? That you are chosen. Right? But you are chosen in Christ Jesus. And it says, just as God talked about Jesus as the chosen, we are co-opted into that reality. We have become the elect of God. And our election is in Christ. And God did this in His omniscience from the foundations of the world. Amen? Praise the Lord. Before our unformed substance, He already knew us. Praise the Lord. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. Now, why holy? Because you can be clothed with the Spirit of Christ, and therefore you will be holy, because the Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of holiness. Amen? And that's what we call the anointing. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we are sons. Praise the Lord. According to the kind intention of His will. So you are the creature of His will. So what is the perfect will of God? That you become a son unto God. What is the perfect will of God? That you become a fruitful son. What is the perfect will of God? That you will unveil one day the blessings of God from heavenly places. What is the perfect will of God? That you become the chosen of God. What is the perfect will of God? That you will be able to ask anything and receive it in the name of Jesus. So that you can be a center of blessing. You can be the means by which God will bless the creation. So when you go into ministry, what are you learning in ministry? You're learning how to be a son. You're learning how to function in God the right way. You are learning how to bless. And you will realize it's not so easy to bless. Because there are many people you will reach, you will find in the cause of ministry that you don't even want to bless. And God will bring all kinds of people into your pathways, and God will say, are you willing to make the sacrifice of your time? Are you willing to pray for them? Are you willing to stand in the gap for them? So whatever your calling is, God is asking you, are you willing to learn how to bless? Hello. It is in learning how to bless that God can make you a blessing. Because a blessing is not an end in itself. A blessing is a means to an end. God blesses you so that you can be a blessing. God anoints you in ministry so that you can be a blessing to the nations. And in learning how to do that, you are becoming a prince of the kingdom of God. Amen. So in a marriage union, when a husband blesses his wife, he's learning how to do something. He's learning how to be in the image of Jesus Christ. When a wife learns how to submit to her husband, she's learning what it means to submit to the Lord. And it's not so easy. You have to learn it. You have to learn it how? By receiving from Jesus the nature that you don't have. So in the Old Testament, God referred to Jesus Christ as the servant. There are many other titles by which He referred to Him. He also called Him the Son. Why did He refer to Him as a servant? Because the greatest in the kingdom of God will be servant of all. Because the sons of God are called to serve. The sons of God are not called to lord it over the nations. The sons of God are called to serve. So when Jesus washed Peter's feet, Peter was flabbergasted. And what did Jesus tell him? If I don't wash you, you have no part in me. Amen? So always remember this. So when you go into your ministry, always remember God is teaching you something far greater. He's teaching you for a great purpose. So don't bring in the selfish agendas and the selfish desires. They are only destroying your own destiny. They are only being stumbling blocks to your own blessing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, we are adopted as sons through Christ Jesus to the Father. And this is the will of God. And God calls it the kind intentions of His will. Always remember that God's will is kind. You know, sometimes we have this picture of God waiting there with a sledgehammer. That every time we make a mistake, He slams us with a sledgehammer on our fingers. That's our idea of what the will of God means. That's why most people in the church are terrified of the will of God. The only person who does something like that is the devil. The Bible says that the will of God is kind. Kind. For you and me to be kind, it is nothing very big. But for God to be kind, it's a different ball game, isn't it? Hello? That's why when we teach Christianity by the law, telling people you can't do this, can't do that, can't do this, we are destroying their relationship with God. We are projecting into their hearts an incorrect image of God. That's how God does things. That He just is waiting there to punish you all the time. Don't get me wrong. When God corrects you, it is always with love in His heart. When God disciplines you, He knows what He is doing. When God forces you to seek His face, He knows what He is doing. He's trying to save your life. He's not on an ego trip. He doesn't need us to worship Him. But He demands that we worship Him because He knows that when we worship Him, He can manifest Himself to us because He is God. And the greatest skill you can have is the skill to worship God. Because when you worship God, He manifests Himself as God. Because He is by definition God. And the only way you can recognize God is by worshiping Him. So the greatest skill you can have is the ability to worship God. And the lower you can bow before God, the greater will your God be to you. Praise the Lord. Okay, so what's God doing? So verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. So everything has been given to us freely in the Beloved. So when somebody comes and tells you that unless you pray 19 hours in a day, you are not going to receive something from God, that's not the way to look at it. If you're going to pray 19 hours in the day, you have to receive a heck of a lot from God. Because otherwise you will force yourself to pray 2 days and that will be the end of it. So that is not what God is talking about. Freely bestowed in the Beloved. Praise the Lord. Everything that God gives you is freely bestowed, grace upon grace, in the Beloved. So if you are focused on the name of Jesus, you are the Beloved of the Lord. And no matter how many mistakes you make, God will work in you to correct you and to mold you and set you free from that. You know, when I became a Christian, I had so many weaknesses. I had so many bad habits. I just looked at God and I said, who the dickens is going to be do all this? I can't do any of this stuff. How am I ever going to make the grade as a Christian? I've got too many flaws. I've got too many of the wrong kind of desires. Then one day God told me, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Matthew chapter 5 verse 48. I really freaked out. I said, I can't even pray for 10 minutes and you're asking me to be perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. What on earth are you talking about? So slowly it dawned on me, unless you're telling me that you will achieve this in me, that you will achieve this with me. And then I sat up. If you are going to achieve it with me, I'm here. I'm prepared to walk with you, Lord. You teach me, you mold me, you shape me. One month later, God gave me my calling. I read the calling and I said, my goodness, Lord, you give me this, I'll die. With all of the ego that I have, with all of the pride that I have, with all of the arrogance that I have, you give me a calling like this, you have killed me. And so I said, Lord, if that calling is to manifest, you make sure I don't fall. If you have to give me the cane, but you make sure I don't fall. And then I'll walk into that calling. So became my relationship with God. And throughout all of these years that I have walked with the Lord, I've watched Him achieve things in me. I've watched Him achieve things through me. I've seen Him do things that I would never have imagined myself doing. And the work has just begun. And I'm beginning to have fun. Right? Yeah. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. That's how God introduced himself to Moses. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Isaac means laughter. If you're not laughed, you are not in laughter in the kingdom of God, why the heck are you in church for? If you cannot enjoy your Christian life, how are you going to be a Christian? If you think it is just one series of laws and burdens, why on earth do you want to be a Christian? You're a nut or something. But to find that laughter, Nehemiah writes, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Paul writes, in the midst of tribulation and persecution, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." And then he writes all of his pains that he has been through. So there was a reality outside of him in which he was being persecuted, but there was a reality alive in him where he was full of joy. Amen. And so he also writes in other places, "I know how to enjoy myself when I have something, and if I don't have it, I will still be fine." Why? Because he has learned to live a different reality. Amen. So when God was going to end his life, what did he say? You're going to go into prison in Rome, and there you will die. And everybody in the church said, "Why do you want to go? Get out of it." But he said, "I have to go." So while in prison in Rome, he wrote his most powerful writings. Why did he go? "The joy of the Lord is my strength." So how are you going to make the difficult decisions in your life? "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Are you willing to find that? God is the God of change because he is the Almighty God. He can do with you what you never imagined him doing. You know, if you enjoy carnal things, God can transform that enjoyment into something that is holy too. There is a verse in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2 and verse 3. And it says, "Delight in the fear of the Lord." It talks about Jesus and it says this is what he will manifest in himself. That he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Delight is ecstasy. There have been moments in my life when I have discovered that ecstasy, just for moments. Haven't been able to retain it. But I can understand what he is saying. So look to the things of God. God will change your heart. Step by step you will see it. And you will understand it is the work of the Almighty God. And this is an important work, guys. I'm sorry I'm taking a little bit long tonight, but I need to present this thing to you in the right way. Let's carry on. Verse 7. "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. In all wisdom and insight he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intentions which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times." That is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth. An administration suitable to the fullness of the times. And that's what you are being built for. An administration, a royal priesthood of kings and prophets, the sons of the living God. That's the destiny that God is opening to you. So don't sell that destiny and choose the foolish things of the world. Sometimes they are very tempting. But God is telling you that if you turn to him, he will enable you to make choices that you never thought you would do before. So turn to the Lord. He is the Almighty God. Praise the Lord. So what have we done? This ends our segment on the Almighty God. We have done 3 tapes on the Almighty God. So remember the words, walk before me and be blameless. All right? Don't try so hard, guys. When you have the Almighty God, why are you striving and striving and striving in your own flesh? Where do you think you're going to go? Whole of mankind is striving in their flesh. Where are they going? They're going around in circles. There are more people dying today than there ever were. Right? So understand that. Walk before me and be blameless. And God will be God to you. And He will establish it in a covenant in your heart. And He will circumcise that heart so that you will have no confidence in the flesh of man. He will unveil you as a tabernacle in which He will manifest His presence. And He will make you His son, and He will teach you how to function in His presence at the speed of thought. You and I are predestined to be online with the living God. You know, we are so impressed with computers today. Just imagine if you are online with the living God. What will you be able to do? And all this will be manifested by the Almighty God, who has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, just as He chose you in Him before the foundations of the world to be holy before Him. Praise the Lord. Can you catch the picture of what the Word of God is saying? I very well understand that the stuff that we are talking about may seem very high. But we are talking about the Almighty God. We are not talking about you and me. I will repeat that. We are talking about high things. And the reason why we are talking about high things is because we are talking about the Almighty God, the all-sufficient God, the omnipotent God, the omniscient God, the omnipresent God. The God who is the Creator. In Christ Jesus, you are being created, the workmanship of the living God, so that you can walk into the good works that God has ordained for you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. All right? Praise the Lord. So I hope you will listen to these tapes in the understanding of who we are talking about. We are talking about our position as a consequence of God being the Almighty God. And nothing is impossible with God. We remember the story of the rich young man who came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to have eternal life?" Or words to that effect. Jesus takes him to the law. The young man very blithely said, "I've observed all these laws." So very good, you have observed all these laws. So what does Jesus tell him? "Go and sell all you have and follow me." The young man is flabbergasted. But why did Jesus tell him to go and sell all things? Because he said he has observed the law. What does the law say? You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So Jesus, by implication, was saying, since you love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, go and sell everything and follow me. So as that young man walked away, the disciples turned to him and said, if the criteria is like this, who the dickens is going to come into heaven? So what did Jesus tell him? With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And that's what you must understand. That what we are talking about is impossible for you and for me. But what we are talking about is the work of God. So when that work starts manifesting in your lives, give the glory to God. He has done a great thing. Lucifer failed because he refused to give God that glory. Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise for you being the Almighty God, the all-sufficient one, El Shaddai. And we thank you, Father, that every expression of the Almighty God is meant to make us sons of the living God, our beings the dwelling place of the living God, our hearts circumcised in truth, our hearts unveiled in a covenant, O God, with you. A blood covenant made functional in a living witness of blood, water, and spirit. And in that functional witness, we will do all things through Christ who strengthens us. In that functional witness, we will function and live by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus, being fully and completely set free from the law of sin and death. So we ask you to bless us, that we may be a blessing to you, that you will take pleasure in each one of our lives as you see your workmanship unveil in us, as you manifest what is impossible for us, as you show us how it is you are the Almighty God, so that we will receive and realize the reality of the Almighty God and be able to know how to function in the Almighty God. So bless us, Father, by enabling us to live your name in every facet of our thoughts, our attitudes, our intents, our desires, our imaginations, our objects, our purposes, our will, our emotions, our character, our nature, our personalities, in our conscious, our subconscious and unconscious, in our spirit, souls and bodies, in our hearts and our minds. Let the totality of our being come alive to you as the Almighty God. We ask this, we pray this, in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord.